I think the bald heads from Shaolin are behind this. They're scared of nobody.
I inhale.
Hello?
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to Civil Intercourse with Tony P.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think it's great.
I hope you are in good health and that your spirit is well.
Your appeal to my humanity is pointless.
Come on, man.
We can meet our destiny to build a land here that will be for all mankind a shining city on a hill.
So if we all believe in individual liberty and we all believe in these rules of democracy, what is our modern argument about?
Welcome. We are so glad you're here. As we said in the intro, I hope that we're finding you in good health. I've actually been dealing with some bruised ribs. Never experienced bruised ribs or any cracked ribs or anything like that. I have a deep, deep respect now for quarterbacks in the NFL who play football with bruised ribs. It was pretty bad for a week. Kind of set us back a little bit on some of the podcasting, but hey, it still hurts to breathe, and it's very, very painful, but I think I should just go ahead and pop out a show and continue doing some work and some research, because as we say, the show must go on. I wanted to begin today just with a real quick shout-out to Ice Cube and, of all people, Tucker Carlson. I've never really been a big Tucker Carlson fan. It's interesting seeing him doing his independence thing. He must be very excited. He has the best of both worlds. He's getting paid still from Fox, millions of dollars, and he can do whatever he wants. So he's probably doing a lot of his fly fishing hobby and putting out these really cool videos. But he did one with an interview with Ice Cube, and so I really liked the way that the interview went, and I'm in the future probably gonna check out more of his interviews if the people that he's doing or the topic is interesting. Really a fan of the independent journalism and like to see more of it. But his interview with Ice Cube, it just really restored a lot of my hope. For those of you who don't know, Ice Cube's been getting a lot of crap. He's been fighting back when he gets crap. And man, he's not that guy. You can't play with this guy. And going all the way back, been a fan of his since NWA. You know, he's the F the Police guy. Fuck the police, coming straight from the underground. F the Police. And when they came after him on the social media, like, he would just hit back. And people were not just deleting the tweets that they said to him when they were trying to, like, disrespect him and talk crap, because he went hard at them. They were deleting their accounts. He was embarrassing people, and rightly so, because they were disrespectful punks talking mess about things they don't even know. For just having an opinion that you should be able to talk people. And we'll listen to a clip right now to kind of give you what I'm saying. But man, shout out. After COVID and everything that went on, all my heroes just punking out. It's nice to see a guy just not be a punk and just not sell out, you know, because there's just so many sellouts. Like I said, all my childhood heroes, almost all of them, musicians, actors, athletes, all that nonsense. You know, Americana, you know, hero type, you know, people just weak, man, no backbone, just giving in and selling out and selling the people out so that they make sure that they still get a payday. It's pathetic, especially since they're already rich enough where they don't really need to sell out and sell us out. But, you know, kudos again to Ice Cube here. Let's listen to a real quick clip and then we'll come back on the other side of it.
So why would you be doing this of all interviews? I mean, you could do an interview with anyone. You're doing an interview with me. Obviously, you're going to take abuse for doing that. Like, why would you do that?
Because I think it's silly not to talk to people.
Mm.
I think whether we agree or not,
right,
that has nothing to do with it. You know, it's like, this is what it's all about. Let's talk about it. Let's debate. And you know, I've been shut
Wait,
out.
Wait, that sounds like right-wing extremism and whataboutism.
But I've been shut out. You know, some platforms will not have me on.
Why?
They don't like that I'm, you know, an independent thinker. I'm not part of the herd. I'm not part of the go along to get along gang, so to speak. So, you know, I'm an outsider. And so, you know, I'm not part of the club. So,
and there you have it. You know, and that's one of the things that they hate about Trump. He's an outsider, too. He's not a part of the club. But this is about Ice Cube just being his own person, doing his own thing, and getting a lot of crap for nothing, for saying, I'll go anywhere and debate anyone, even whether I disagree or agree with you. And that's what we got to get back to. If we're not having civil intercourse, if we're not talking, if we're not working things out, if we're not talking to people we disagree with, if we're staying in echo chambers, you know, in ideological bubbles, we're screwed. On to segment two. The Founding Fathers. I have been reading the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers. I read them every year, to be honest with you. But I've been reading them, and along with, you know, as usual, I read the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, but also the debates that were going on when they made the Constitution. It's been very interesting. So included with the Anti-Federalist Papers, the actual arguments that happened while they were making it. And I've been astounded because so many people, I've always known this, but when you really get in and you listen to the debates and the arguments that were being made while the Constitution was being passed, when they were getting rid of the original Confederacy and changing things over, and how we have everything set up the way that we have it, you hear a lot of times people will say, oh, the Founding Fathers didn't know about this or didn't think about this, and that, yeah, there were technology issues that they didn't know about, but everything that we're dealing with modern times right now was dealt with in those debates, including the race relations and everything else. And what I want to talk about is representation, but I really suggest that everyone who is an American citizen dig into those documents, because it just, there's a point of ignorance when you say, oh, the Founding Fathers, that was written for a time back then, and that they had, and as if they had no idea of how things were going to go when we had this many people and we had less people that owned land and we had more people that were renters and leasers and how that was going to go. But dig in, because knowledge is key. And when you're dealing with these people and they start, you know, they have these academic degrees, and they've been really indoctrinated with false history, it really helps to actually know the facts when it comes to the Constitution, just on a personal level. And it's just deeply fascinating. And there are so many things to go through. And I'll try to point you in the resources to some podcasts that I've been listening to that will be helpful in this too. But what I wanted to talk about with the Founding Fathers is representation, and specifically with Congress. One of the things that I came across that was just really interesting to me was when the Anti-Federalists were, you know, kind of talking about the dangers of going in, and what, you know, during this particular piece, they were having the conversation about what type of representation we have. And I'll read this, and then we'll talk about why it's so interesting. But the speaker says, I have trespassed so long on your patience. I am really concerned that I have something yet to say. The honorable member has said we shall be properly represented. Remember, sir, that the number of our representatives is but 10. Whereof six is a majority. Will those men be possessed of sufficient information? A particular knowledge of particular districts will not suffice. They must be well acquainted with agriculture, commerce, and a great variety of other matters throughout the continent. They must know not only the actual state of nations in Europe and America, the situations of their farmers, cottagers, and mechanics, but also the relative situations and intercourse of those nations. Virginia is as large as England. Our proportion of representatives is but 10 men. In England, they have 558. The House of Commons in England, numerous as they are, we are told, are bribed and have bartered away the rights of their constituents. What, then, shall become of us? Will these few protect our rights? Will they be incorruptible? You say they will be better men than the English commoners. I say they will be infinitely worse men, because they are to be chosen blindfolded. Their election, the term as applied to their appointment, is inaccurate. Will be involuntary nomination and not a choice. Now, they were arguing over whether people should be voted for, nominated. They were arguing over presidential powers. They were arguing over how do you elect a president, who does the president appoint, congressman. You know, so these were the arguments and all the things that were going on. But this specific point that he made really made me think, because they rejected this here in America far past when the original documents were made, of increasing our representation. Because think about that. In the district I live in, my representative in Congress represents 1 million people. That is way too much power for a representative, and that is way too little power for the people. The founding fathers were concerned that we were going to have one representative for every 30,000 people. They thought that wasn't enough. The excuse that you can't do it in this day and age because of space is ridiculous, because you could have a bunch of representatives and then you could have one that goes and ends up doing the vote. You could have, there's ways to do it, but we really need to start thinking about, and the reason that I'm throwing this out there, just food for thought, and I really, again, suggest get into these documents, man. They're fascinating and amazing. Is this is a really big thing that we need to have. We need more representation, and we need to be, this will get more people in. They keep talking about pack the courts. We need to not pack the courts. We need to pack Congress. Senate, it needs to be one representative for each state or two or whatever the ratio is now, concurrent with the numbers. That's fine, because that's how the Senate is supposed to be designed. But Congress, I believe we need more representation. Think about that if it was, say that what they wanted back then, 30,000 people got represented by one person. What are the odds you could have access to the person that's representing you more? That you would have an advocate, a representative? Because we don't elect leaders, we elect representatives. Just food for thought. Think about that. Because, you know, it's something that we really need to be able to have more access to our power, and to not have a aristocrat a cabal set up, aristocratic cabal set up in our government, the uniparty. We have to break this up, and we have to get rid of career politicians, and we have to get rid of this idea that, one person represents 1 million people. That is ludicrous. And, they said they can't do it because they couldn't build a building that's big enough. I find that hard to believe that we couldn't do that in this day and age. I find it hard to believe that we couldn't find mechanisms and debate and come up with a way. You could have, we won't get it too deep into the weeds in it, but food for thought. If anybody has any thoughts on that when you're listening to this show, please give me some feedback. I would really appreciate it because I think it's important. I think it's as important as the next topic that we got coming up in the next segment. The debt. So let's get on to the next segment. Public debt, public theft. All right, so let's talk about the debt. I know everybody got themselves burned out talking about the debt ceiling and that they're not worried about talking about it. But we're on track, according to the Congressional Budget Office, to reach $39 trillion by 2027. The Office of Management and Budget estimates that we'll reach $40.9 trillion, so almost $41 trillion. And the USDebtClock.org, which is the most accurate, I believe, of all of them, has us at $43.9 trillion in 2027. So while we're taking a look, before we get another $10 trillion in debt, we are $32 trillion in debt. And I just did a few weeks ago my show, as I said in the intro, on the celebratory show, you know, we always joke around about that, about $32 trillion. Well, we're at $32.6 trillion right now. So I'll be getting ready for that $33 trillion celebration show pretty quick. Take a drink of my coffee. Ah, that's so good. And the thing is, we're going to... Why is this important? I have to stop myself because I have to listen to this again. And then I've recorded a couple of these already and stopped because I start getting into the numbers and the weeds too deep. And I'm like, man, people are going to tune out on this. So why is it important? Why does this matter? Why is this not just about the debt ceiling? The debt ceiling should never, ever, ever, ever be raised again. I know that this can be a snoozer. Please bear with me. I'm going to stumble through this and it may be a little rough. But we really need to get focused on the debt. We really need to stop the theft of our tax dollars. And I want to reiterate something that I've said in a few podcasts, but I want you to really think about this and really pay attention. If you listen to anything, listen to this. Bureaucracies are designed to grow. Let me say that again. Bureaucracies are designed to grow. How are they designed to grow? In the budgets, it is written in every budget from the state to the federal to your down to your counties and your local governments, all the way through every bureaucracy. If you don't make your budget, you don't get the same amount of money you spent the year before. You're incentivized to at least spend what you spent the year before. If you go over budget, you can make a case to get an increase, and in most cases will. If you go under, you will lose money. There's no incentive for any bureaucracy to be efficient and to save the taxpayers' money. There's an incentive to overspend. There's an incentive to waste because you can grow and you will grow. All of government, let that sink in. All of government is designed to grow. That is problem one. That needs to be we need to be monitoring that to where budget increases are much harder to get. And where people are incentivized for saving taxpayer money. That people need to be rewarded for being efficient and taking care of business and being good stewards of our tax dollars. Okay? That's why we should care. One reason, it's very important. We have to control the purse strings. The other reason is they're wasting our money and they're embezzling our money and they're laundering it all around the world. Everyone's talking about this Hunter Biden thing. It's not about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. It's about every political family that's been there for decades is involved in these type of crimes. And that's why they're going after Trump to try to stop him from running as president, because they're all guilty. The GOP and DNC and all their members, and I'm sure there's a few that aren't, you know, let's not be crazy here. Of course, you can't just say every last person. But the uniparty, it's a uniparty, it's a scam, it's a pretend fight, and they're all involved. All their kids are involved in different things. And so, you know, we need to get control of this. They're trying to hide it. And the other thing is, it's just irresponsible. We're carrying too much debt as a country, just common sense-wise. We're $32 trillion in debt. 32.6. We just did our show a few weeks ago and celebrated the $32 trillion mark. And we're getting ready and having to do work for the $33 trillion show. That's where we're at.
This is very disrespectful.
You know, one of the things that I think that we really need to talk about, too, with this and why it's important is that $7.6 trillion of our debt that we're paying interest on is held by foreign countries. I just just think about that. Why have our representatives of our country put us under the thumb of the Fed, which is a cabal of bankers around the world, and why have they put allowed us to be in debt to foreign countries by $7 trillion? There's a plan going on here, and it's been going on for decades. I said this in previous podcasts. We don't need a revolution. We don't need violence. We don't need anything but to become good voters. We need to be paying attention, talking to each other, comparing notes, and voting better. It's really that simple. And pay attention on election days and make them election days, not election months and election years. We need to get this done. We are way past the point where this should be done inefficiently the way it is. So that's a very big problem, having foreign countries holding our debt. I just don't think that should be going on. We have a trade deficit, $1 trillion. We need to fix that. Why do we have a trade deficit? Not have a trade deficit. It's ridiculous. One of the things that we want to, we have to figure out is, like, with all this frivolous spending, Ukraine is obviously such an easy target, but it's such a huge amount of money. It's almost $100 trillion or $1 trillion that we sent them. It was almost $100 billion. We have liabilities. So we're paying Social Security outright this annually, but our liability for it, long term, right now, as it stands, $22,808,000,000,000. Those are our liabilities with everybody on the books and the way the system's set up. Our Medicare liability is $35,593,000,000,000. So what are we doing? Our U.S. funded liabilities is $192 trillion. A liability for per each citizen is $574,000. Again, go to usdebtclock.org. Run through these numbers. We have 335 million people. 335 million people. We have 163 million in the workforce. 5 million unemployed somehow. Actual unemployed? Almost 10 million, 9.8. In the workforce, in 2000, we had 160,000 employed. And now it's 163,000. It's really weird. Not in labor force now, 99 million. Not in the labor force in 2000, 82 million. Government employees, 23 million. U.S. union workers, which I am one of as well, 15,479,000. Manufacturing jobs manufacturing jobs in 2000 were 17,177,000. Manufacturing jobs now, 13 million. So we lost 4 million manufacturing jobs since 2000. My God. At 42 million living in poverty, 27 million living without insurance. U.S. bankruptcies is 411,000. It's people losing their homes. U.S. foreclosures, 110. People losing their homes. Living in poverty, 42 million. That's just too many. It's just too many. Now, they tell us that we have 23 million U.S. millionaires. That's what they say. And 42 million food stamp recipients. 85 million Medicaid recipients. 63 million Medicare enrollees. 57 million retirees, 8 million disabled, U.S. disabled. So there's just some things to look at. There's some things to consider with this debt. But the one thing that you cannot have to consider, that no one should be considering, is whether or not this is important. I know it's been a dragger. I know I'm kind of, as I'm looking at these numbers, man, it kind of floors me. Because every time I look at them, I'm just like, how are people not paying attention to these numbers? And how are they not really just upset, calling their congressman? How are we not getting together? How are we not having debates and talking about this? We don't have to agree philosophically on everything, but damn, can we agree that $32 trillion and coming to be pretty quick $33 trillion is, you know, kind of an important issue? Can we agree that the Congressional Budget Office says by 2027 that it's going to be $39 trillion, that the USDebtClock.org is estimating $43.9 trillion, and that the U.S. national debt is being projected by the Office of Budget Management and Budget at 40.9. By 2027, at least everyone is saying that, running the numbers, that we're going to at least be $40 trillion. $40 trillion by 2027. That's 4 years. And that's coming right around the corner. And when they're saying, we're going to give $50 billion to this country, and we're going to give $10 billion to this, and we're going to forgive this debt, and we don't have any money to forgive debt. There's no money for college debt forgiveness. The only thing you can do is begin to charge less for it now. You can start making these colleges get their act together and stop gleaning the wallets of our citizens for subpar education. It's not even that good. I mean, you got to spend all that money to get a crappy, useless freaking. I mean, why do you need a bachelor degree anyway to manage a McDonald's or a Burger King or a Taco Bell or a gas station? Or, you know what I'm saying? When did we get to a world where those jobs required anything but a high school diploma? The world has gone mad with this obsession when you need a college degree. Hint. College does not make you smart, intuitive. It can expand you, and it can help, you know, give you some basic education, no more than a library. I mean, information is available out there, and it's time people start paying attention. We have to get this debt taken care of, people. We have to pay this off. And of course, it's not going to get all the way off. But unless we, as voters, start getting rid of career politicians and stop letting them come in, and unless we fix our representation and start understanding what the founding fathers put in place for us, then we're going to have, you know, some serious, serious problems. Speak up, speak out, talk to people. Look at this. Go to usdebtclock.org. Start looking at the numbers, chase down the resources. They have sources. That is when you get into the weeds of it, it gets even more interesting. And you know, it leads you to these budgets when you're like, okay, well, let me break this down. What is going on? And when you try to read a budget, the budget that they pass, but Congress passes, Senate passes, and that gets signed that nobody reads, it will blow your mind if you spend enough time reading it, because the waste, the theft, the outright just misuse of our tax dollars, it should offend everyone. And it is important for so many reasons. We need to take our freedom back, and it starts by taking our tax dollars back. The more money you have in your pocket, the more ability you have to affect the world around you. The more buying power the dollar has, the more effectiveness you can have in buying someone food who needs it in your neighborhood, by helping a family member, helping a friend, donating to your church or your different charity organizations. They are taking our money and our freedom and our ability to do things for our communities. They are stealing our money and pretending like we're here to help when they're only here to steal our tax dollars. It has to stop. We have to stop supporting the uniparty cabal of bankers. We have to stop making the Fed our backbone. We have to return to the silver and gold standard. We have to get back to being a real monetary system. This idea, any of these economists who say, oh, it's no problem, the debt can just keep going, and it's all fiat money and we'll be fine, and blah, blah. Those people need to be ran out of academia. They are incompetent and they're not doing their jobs properly. We need to bring back real economics. We need to bring back people who save. And then at some point, and I'm going to shock everybody here because of the GDP thing and how we look at the budget, at some point, we maybe need to figure out why we have built our system on basically a gambling model. It's been a pretty reliable gambling model, but it's also been manipulated by the Fed, manipulated by bankers.
Come on,
and
man.
I would like to leave you with this. Just remember, if we fail out here, as we close out, if we fail, the banks are too big to fail. They can't fail. Remember that. We bailed them out, but they wouldn't bail us out. All those people lost their homes because after the banks got bailed out, they would not give loans out. They just paid off their debt, shored up their books, said, thank you for letting us steal your money. It has to stop. They have to stop creating money and creating money out of thin air off of interest and making all that money off us. They don't even want to give us money. When we put money in the bank, we used to put money in the bank and you go get 3-4% interest in your account for keeping your money in there because they're loaning your money out. The banks don't even want to give you interest anymore. They want to charge you to put your money in the bank for them to make money off of you. They make money off you putting your money in the bank. You don't need them. You could buy a safe and keep your money at your house. You don't need them, right? You don't need them. That's why they're starting to catch on to that. And now that's why they want to desperately turn everything into digital currency. Because they can control you and control me and control us. They use the purse strings to control us. That's why it's important. Hey guys, we're going to get out of here. I just really appreciate you so much, listening. And hit us up at anchor.fm/AB from CA. Throw us a sound file. Hey, you think we're crazy? You think we're cool? Whatever. I don't care. Whatever your feedback is, positive, negative, give us something. Give us a sound file. If you've got something to say that's just random, throw it out there. I'll respond to it. We really like the feedback. For the few people that keep bugging me and checking in, I really appreciate you. We're going to start doing some advertising and promotions and getting into the mode of actually trying to push this show a little bit more and being a little more consistent. So here it comes. But I really appreciate your time. Dig in. I'll leave you some links for the to get to the Anti-Federalist Papers and Federalist Papers. Really do dig in. Find out what the Founding Fathers were talking about. And it's going to be awesome, man. We really appreciate you. Take care. And we'll talk to you soon.
Everything that guy just said is bullshit.
That's a good thing.
Well, next entry performs.